Let's unite our hearts in prayer once again. Father, I want to thank you for breathing on me and my friends through our worship team and our singing. We thank you for song. And we know it's all your grace, Lord, that this song has been put in our hearts. And now we pray, continue to soften our hearts, to open to hear what we need to hear from your words. And we thank you, God, for making us not only hearers, but doers of your word. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. In case you came in late, we have some green cards we're trying to get you to fill out, update our church directory, but it also gives you options on one side if you'd like to know more about our ministries, if you'd like for me to come visit you, if you have something, a special prayer request, or there's something else you want to ask us a question about. But we distribute a updated directory at our annual general meeting every year, and that'll be on March the 16th. But we're trying to collect data now to make sure that we have your correct addresses and phone numbers. Again, it's only used in-house among us as a church family. Basics for Life, this is our sermon topic for today. But as we get started, let's just review where we've been going recently on the Sunday mornings. We've been exploring the disciples came to Jesus and said, teach us how to pray. And Jesus began to teach them how to pray. And he said, pray for, therefore, in this matter, which what we know is the Lord's Prayer. You can find that in Matthew chapter 6. Why don't we just pray it together? We can recite this out loud. And I've been trying to expand upon exactly what does this Lord's Prayer mean. But why don't we just all, you want to stand and stretch your legs for a minute? We can all pray this out to our Father again. You just sat down, didn't you? Well, we'll stand up once more. Okay. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Thank you. Be seated. So it's not just a matter of just repeating it, of just reciting these words. This matter embraces God's honor, God's kingdom, his provision, God's forgiveness, and God's power. So it's like you're giving God a hug, but as you hug God, you're doing so in a way, and you're praying, that you're recognizing he is to be honored, his kingdom, his provision, his forgiveness, and his power. So the salutation in God's honor is the way it begins. Our Father in heaven. He's just not James's Father. He's yours. And I could start calling out you one by one by name. He's our Father. He's our Father God who's dearing and loving and caring for us. And he's not only our Father, but he's this almighty God who sits in the heavens in glory and is worshipped by the living creatures, by all the angels and by the 24 elders and the myriads and myriads of believers that have gone to be with him in paradise. And we're going to join them. And he's in heaven, and he's the one who I'm going to talk to now. And so as I come to him with this recognition of him as my loving Father, but also the almighty God who's adored and worshipped in heaven, I do so and I honor and hallow his name. So salutation and God's honor. Yes, he is the great I Am. He's the Lamb of God. He's the Son of God. He is the Messiah. He is the Almighty Lord of Hosts. He is the King of Kings. This is who we worship. This is who we hallow his name. And when we understand the magnificence of God and his great glory, we will not use his name in vain. So hallowed is his name in our prayers. The first one, after we embrace his honor, we embrace his kingdom. That should be part of our praying, our interacting with God. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, if you're like me, sometimes I think it's my kingdom come. And I'm not concerned about his kingdom. But he says, no, when you pray, disciples, and he says that to you today and to me today, you and my modern disciples, you're going to follow me, pray about my kingdom. And in Matthew 6, 9 through 13, in the context, we see the kingdom is Father God's kingdom. Remember, it's a loving, endearing God. It's a glorious God. It's his kingdom that he wants to advance in my heart and on planet Earth. The kingdom is both where and in whom the will of Father God is done. So it can be a place. It can also be in people. And it involves both. The kingdom is both where and in whom the will of Father God is done. And lastly, it's in heaven now, completely and perfect, but it's not complete and perfect on earth. And so if you follow the news, as Tom prayed, you know, Ukraine's political protests, Egyptian political celebrations and protests all mixed into one, and people being killed senselessly, and people being killed for other reasons in other parts of the world. And you begin to wonder, oh yeah, you don't have to wonder. You know this God's will is not being done on this earth yet. And so we pray, your will be done, your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. But there is another kingdom that is very active, and that belongs to Satan. It's called the world. Satan is in control right now. Yes, he was defeated by Christ on the cross, but the kingdom of God is advancing right now through you and I. And the reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. Satan's power is limited, but he still has power. He's even on Ephesians 2:2. We looked at the elders' retreat. Thank you for praying for us during the elders' retreat. It was a very good one. And you can ask the elders what happened, and I might share a little bit too in the sermon. But Ephesians 2:2 speaks of the ruler of this world as being the ruler of the air. And he's got some ruling going on right now. But you know what? It's been destroyed. And every advance, every victory against sin and Satan is done through the power of Christ. And it's the advancement for the kingdom of God. So we looked at this when we considered, what does it mean to pray for the kingdom of God to advance? Does anyone recognize this photograph? No one? Well, it is kind of obscure. Well, that's a lady in the on the right. Say it'd be on your left, on the left, and she's a rape victim. This past week, in a village, I think it's Subalpur is the way to pronounce it, in West Bengal's Birram district, this lady was raped by 13 men continuously throughout the evening. And the reason she was raped, supposedly the elder of the village ordered it. She was discovered to have had an affair with a man from another village, a village which was prohibited to relate to. For what reasons, I don't know. Those two villages having some sort of disagreements, perhaps over deities, who they worship, or perhaps just because they just don't like each other for different reasons. But she had an affair with a man from another village, and as punishment, they were going to punish her. They fined her 50,000 rupees, and her family couldn't pay for that, and so to extract payment, they punished her through rape. Well, she went to the authorities, and they arrested all 13 men. Now, this came up to me. This story got my significance as I began to reflect on God's biblical pattern for marriage. Some guys in small groups and then our K group on Thursday night, we've been looking at God's design for marriage. And we know his design is beautiful as it's created there in the created order of Genesis 2 and 3. And then we see in the New Testament how it's expanded. How does this complementarian relationship work? We are equal before God, but we have unique roles in our marriage, and how we exercise that by the power of the Holy Spirit living in us will glorify God. In other words, when people see us, husbands, loving our wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for it, when he sees wives submitting to their husbands in the way that the church submits to Christ's lordship, in a way which the Holy Spirit is working and glorifying, you get something about a picture of the mystery of Christ and his great love for us. It's beautiful. And I want that to be part of me as a husband and loving Bonnie and Bonnie loving me and somebody can see, yeah, you know, I see Christ in their marriage, you know. This is what India needs. How many of you watch Australian Open? Yeah, I knew Bonnie's hand was going to go up. Who's the women's champ? Lena. Lena, yeah. And she's so funny the way she's talking about her husband, you know, after she got her she's making fun, having joke back and forth. 150 years ago, every Chinese woman's feet were like this. What do you think? Confucius just sat down and said, hey, let's quit this foot binding. The gospel came to China, and it freed women. Wherever the gospel of Christ goes, it is liberation for women. I mean that in the biblical sense. India needs the gospel. And I thank God for every Indian man and woman, brother and sister in Christ, who give their life for that country. Okay. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in my heart. In the hearts of my DBICC family, in our marriages, and to the marriages of the world. How many of you have friends in India that you can pray for? Pray for those guys. Pray for their families. It's a tough battlefield for the kingdom and advancement of the gospel. But today we're going to look at our topic. It's basics for life. Now, if you and I are going to live, we need food. We need food. And I believe with all my heart, if you and I are going to live, we need forgiveness. Can you imagine if your mom and dad never, ever, ever, never, ever said, that's okay. All right. I know you're sorry. It's okay now. If your boss at work never forgave you, well, he'd fire you the next day, right? If whatever happens, you know, we all need forgiveness, but more so between us and the living Almighty God who created us in his image to glorify him, we need forgiveness. And we'll explore these two. God's provision and God's forgiveness are what the basics for life. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. It's coming to God to give. That's where we need somebody to provide it. And it's daily. It's give us this day our daily. We need some bread for today, and we need some forgiveness for today. And I often wonder, you know, why are they two just put together? And that's why I'm coming up with this thought. It's the basics for life. Let's unpack this a little bit. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. Ask God daily for bread. I've never heard any of you ask God for bread. You probably never heard me ask him for bread. I give him thanks for it. But do I ask him for it? On the elders' retreat, where we're going to eat the first night? China Bear or the kitchen? Or how about James's little Chinese mom and pop thing? So we ended up eating Turkish food. You don't worry about where your bread comes from, do you? I know. I just sit down and Bonnie has it. There it is. Neat. Ask God daily for bread. Well, let me tell you what it doesn't mean is asking God for that kind of bread. Okay. Actually, the scriptures warn us in Proverbs 30 and 1 Timothy 6 about asking to be rich. Because that's entrapment. It'll make us think that we don't need God. It'll make us and in all kinds of troubles if we love money. It is the root of all evil. Okay. Okay, a love of money. Now, if you want to work hard and you see that in your working and in your business and your and you've got certain goals, marketing goals, whatever, that's fine. It's okay to put these goals out there and work as unto the Lord. But you don't live to get rich. You believe in your company, you believe in your product, you believe in the services, whatever you're doing. You do it and you give it all your heart and you work for the glory of God. And if you prosper, so be it. And you share that wealth and you become a person of managing wealth which God has given you. But you don't pray to be rich. And so this asking God daily for bread isn't asking God, give me more money today, Lord. It's okay to pray for a job if you need a job. It's okay to pray for a raise if you need a raise. It's okay. But I don't live for that. That's not what feeds me. But we're talking about food. And for Christ's culture during that day, bread was a staple. Now in our culture, we are so well fed, we're even moving away from bread. So don't eat bread, you know, don't do that, don't do this. I'll let you medical experts discuss this one, but I think bread is okay, all right? If you're, it's not lactose, what's the other thing? Gluten-free, a lot of us, you still eat bread products, but gluten-free, right? Bread, I think, is okay. But give us this day our daily bread, give us this day our daily bowl of rice, you know, that's all right. It's the substance that you need food to live off of. How many recognize this fellow? Americans, some of you like movies, American movies, recognize Jimmy Stewart. They call him James here. James Stewart. And very unique voice. If you ever heard his voice, you would recognize him. How many have seen the movie Shenandoah? Wow. We got a few Jimmy Stewart fans. But it's a story about that happens in the Civil War period in the United States, North and South, and slavery was one of the biggest issues of that war. And Shenandoah is located in the state of Virginia, and some of those families got divided about some would fight on the north side, some would fight on the south, and an interesting family life. He's a widower. His name is Charlie Anderson. That's the man he plays. And here he is sitting down with the family to pray, and the two women, and one is his daughter, and one is the wife, I think, of his eldest son. But a good movie to watch, and how it ends is better than what I'm going to share right now. I'll let you say that. See the movie itself. But when he sits down, he prays. This brother up in the back, do you remember how he prayed? Okay. I was going to say, man, you are a Jimmy Stewart fan if you know this one. He prays this way at the dinner table. Lord, I'll try to do it like he would say. Okay. Lord, we cleared this land. We plowed it, sowed it, and harvested it. We cooked the harvest. It wouldn't be here. We wouldn't be eating it if we hadn't done it all ourselves. We worked dog-bone hard for every crumb and morsel, but we thank you. Just the same anyway, Lord, for this food we're about to eat. Amen. But we thank you anyway, Lord, just the same. I didn't do that reading well, but Jimmy Stewart's a great actor. Don't beat him up, because at the end of the story, he's in church. Okay. But what I'm getting at is God created the plants in the right conditions for crop growth, Jimmy. Or I should say Charlie Anderson. God blesses us with employment and puts us in families where we learn to work. He gives us strength to plow, plant, and harvest. And so as Tom was praying even this morning, you know, it's we recognize the food on our plate comes from. So we are wealthy people, and we could easily forget that what is right before us, the nourishment that our body needs today, has come from God. So therefore we pray, give us today our daily bread, and we thank him whenever we eat. I find it very helpful. We did a book, a study of the book, A Meal with Jesus, and I'm trying to think of that guy's name. Tim somebody, right? Tim Chester. Wow. Who whispered that? Was it Christian? Well done. Well done. So it's really good. Thanks, Shirley. It's a really good book, and it explains that what he likes us to do is when we thank God for when we eat, is thank him for the specific things that are out there, you know. Thank you for the, it gets a little complicated when it's a Chinese meal, but, you know, thank you for the pie guat, for the roasted, what do you call it, bones and pork thing, whatever it is. Thank you for the pork dish, for the fish dish, for the vegetable, for, you know. But your children see that. Every time you sit down for a meal, you have a chance to embrace God. Give him a hug. Because he's the God who's provided everything that's on the table. Food for thought. USA weight loss market annually is a $60 billion business. That's people trying to lose weight because they eat too much. Right? $60 billion. That's pretty good. The USA marijuana market is, it's hard to gauge, you know, so people don't like to say, this is how much I spend on my marijuana every week. And Google hasn't figured out how to track this market yet, but they will. But to make a long story short, it's estimated 14 to 120 billion. And those who are more on the legalization of marijuana would say it's very high, the 120. 870 million people in the world suffered from chronic undernourishment in 2010-2012. That's about one out of eight people on planet Earth are going to be wondering, where is my bread going to come from tomorrow? None of us in this room, I would say, are going to wonder where my bread's going to come from tomorrow. But one out of eight people on the planet are in this predicament. If we took just the Americans who smoke pot and trying to lose weight, took all that money, we could feed these people for 3 months. But the answer is America. The answer is Christ. Give us this day our daily bread, and it can only come from God. Now, I had a dear friend named P.T. Chandapilla. He was from Chennai, one of the most influential, impactful men in my spiritual development. I thank God for him spending time with me and Bonnie. But he said, James, I've never seen Christians begging for bread in India. D.B., have you? I don't know. You can tell me. Maybe you have. I don't know. But I trusted Chandapilla and the beggars I saw, none of them wore crosses. But there's beggars all throughout India. And they're very hungry people in India, in certain places. Give us this day our daily bread. And of that 870 million people who suffer from chronic undernourishment, it must include some Christians. How many? I don't know. But as they pray that prayer, it has a different meaning than the way you and I will thank God for everything at dim sum, everything from McDonald's, everything from McSorley's, everything from the Thai restaurant, everything from whatever that our wives or our helpers put before us. Give us this day our daily bread. A basic for life also is this asking God for daily for forgiveness. Why do we ask God for forgiveness? Well, we want to get to heaven. Well, it starts with that first prayer when you come to faith and you realize that, yes, I accept Christ. I really believe that you died for me. That that in all the ways in which I have sinned against God and failed to love Him, and all the ways in which I've been selfish and failed to love people who you have around me, and the things I've said wrongly, the things I've done in my behavior, the faults, all the evil in that, all that stuff, I believe, Christ, you died for me. You were nailed to that tree on Calvary, and you died for me. But not only that, I believe that all your perfection, your perfect life that you lived when you walked this planet, and all you did was please the Father, your righteousness, your goodness, your holiness is mine through faith. I grab hold of that. And when I do that, I'm born again. I had to ask for forgiveness to get there. But daily, daily, I have to ask for forgiveness. So it says, hey, disciples, you want to learn how to pray? Okay, now look, ask for bread, all right? You need that daily, okay? And forgiveness. Okay. I was just trying to check this heart out. It's got all this music in it. Can you check that out? Can you see that, the music? If you download this from the internet and put it on your computer, it'll move and everything. So I was hoping we'd have some movement, but it's not good. But anyway, you have peace in your heart because you are relating to the Holy God and you're allowing Him into your life to deal with that which can keep you from really living. Sin. Therefore we pray and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. Now, debts are not just money sins. Now, when I was a child, I hear that word debtors. I didn't really understand it. I mean, Micah, do you have any debts? Financial debts, right? Not yet. Okay. Robbie, I'm not going to ask you. Okay. But debts are, when you get a little older and you go to university, particularly some expensive universities, and you're not on a full scholarship ride, you might find that you may need to get a loan to make it through medical school, law school, or graduate school, or whatever. And then you have what we call school debts. I think a lot of us are familiar with university debts and pay them off, and hopefully you're working at that, and God's taking care of that for you. And that's the way I used to think of this prayer, Micah. When I was about your age, I'd pray the Lord's Prayer. I don't have any debts. I don't owe anybody anything. But that's not what it's talking about. It's not talking about money issues. But it's talking about all kinds of sin. I'll come back to this in a minute. Excuse me. It's talking about all kinds of sins. So, as I alluded to earlier, I could say something bad. I could say something unkind and with a wrong tone in my voice. I could say nothing at all when somebody needs me to say something. I could not do the good things I know I should do. I could do the bad things I shouldn't do. You know, all those things are sin. I can just be very selfish and not care about people in my life and in my network of daily work, you know. And then, of course, I could care less about God. I don't talk to Him. I don't serve Him. I could care less about what He says in His Word and His commandments and all that. And I sin against God. So it's all a sin when we talk about debts, you know. So we ask for this forgiveness of our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. So it doesn't mean that God only forgives us if we forgive others, all right? Now, it's in this petition, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. It's just not saying forgive us our debts because we have forgiven our debtors. There's a difference. Now Christ will again, at the end of the prayer, He'll go back and say how important it is for us to forgive others. And if you want to talk about the mark of a Christian, it's ability to forgive. You don't talk about bearing your cross. It's ability to forgive those who wrong you. That's the bearing the cross in my book. But here, when we forgive someone else, it shows we understand what it costs to God to forgive us. We savor God's mercy. There's no way in the world I can stand before you and not love you. And I don't care what sin you might do to me or to other people or toward God. Because I know God has forgiven me. He's shown mercy to me. And what a great song. Mercy is endless as the sea. You know, that was beautiful. That's what we're living. We live in God's mercy. And by His grace, we need to ask Him sometimes, because some of the things we need to forgive are very tough. Somebody steals property from us. We have a mate who sins against us by having an affair. We have a child that goes off the deep end and is very, very awful prodigal, you know, in the sense of addictions and causing us a lot of money to get him in and out of jail. You can have all these type of things that go on that are very difficult, but still, we're called to forgive. But the petition here is, God, forgive me. Forgive me of my debts, as I'm going to be forgiving those around me. Because I know how important it is. Now, it's daily doing this. It's daily doing it. It's not just one time. Yet, when I came to faith, I realized that Christ, he died for me, and He gives me all His goodness and righteousness. I realized that. There was a prayer involved in that. There was confession. But I need to ask God daily for forgiveness. Asking for forgiveness is not just performing a to-do list, but throws us into the arms of Christ. So, for example, God, I forgive family. I'm going to pick on you a little bit, but this isn't jest, okay? I forgive Ruth for calling me during my staff meeting. I forgive Bonnie for baking a coffee cake for the Friday morning ladies and not bringing me a piece back. I'm forgiving them like that, right? But I'm going to ask God for forgiveness, and I'm not going to come to Him and say, okay, God, forgive me because I timed my phone calls wrong. Forgive me for not baking. Forgive me for I'll put it personally. Forgive me, Lord, for not letting Bonnie watch the Australian Open so I could watch Chelsea play football. That hasn't happened. I'm just making that. But what I'm saying is, you don't come up, okay, forgive me for I said this bad at work. I did this, and I did this, and I've done that, and I've done this, and I've done that. And now, God, I have confessed my sins. I prayed daily like You said. Forgive me, Lord Jesus, for I've been so greedy. I've been concerned more about money that I've neglected my family this week. But I thank You, Lord Jesus, You're not a greedy man. No, when You walked this earth, You were completely caring and giving and so generous that You even gave Your blood to save us. But You gave Your time and Your energies to bring healing, to feed people, to care for people, to disciple your 12. Make me a person who gives, not a person who has greed. Like You. When you confess your sins, you're going to grab Jesus. You're going there to delight in His forgiveness. It's not just a question of going through your list. That is where you find your life is in Christ. He wants me to just be truthful. And as we delight in this gospel, that, yep, here's my bad stuff, Jesus, I'm bringing it to You. I've sinned against You. I've sinned against my wife or my daughter, whatever I've done. I bring this to You. And then I begin to see His goodness, His perfectness, His obedience, and I delight in that. The gospel teaches me. This grace of God begins to teach me to say no to all worldliness and ungodliness, and to live a righteous and a blameless life in this present age while I await the appearance, the glorious appearance of Christ Jesus. So it's not just about confessing, here's my sins. That's good. If you're there and you're keeping account of your sins, that's good. I went to bed last night, and I thought to myself, well, okay, what are some of the sins right now before I went to bed? And I said, well, it's good you're going to bed. You're not staying up too late and watching TV all night, watching football. Chelsea plays tonight. So anyway, but really, guys and women and men, you know, how do we use our time? Are we getting enough rest? And I got to ask myself that, you know, and I can sin against myself. I know it's not getting enough rest, thinking I need to watch my program on my football. So I'm trying to work on that. And I know others of you know what God is talking to you in your heart, how you can love Him, how you can love, take care of your body better, how you can take care of your relationships and your family at work, etc. But talk to Him about your sin. Confess it and experience the peace of God. Now, how often are we going to do this? Daily, right? God's provision for our physical existence and for our spiritual peace and eternal happiness with Him. Okay, application. Do you embrace God daily as your provider? Or do you suffer from the Charlie Anderson syndrome? I work hard. I got to do with it. Embrace Him at the mealtime in such a way that your kids can see it. Yeah, God's the one who's feeding us tonight. You know, mommy might have cooked it, or if some of you men may have cooked it. I don't know. Some of you guys are really good chefs. I know at least one or two of you are. But whoever, you know, God, thank you. You made the cows grow and make delicious beef, you know, whatever it is, you know, just get excited about when you have to say grace. Thank you, Father, for the food we're about to partake. Bless our bodies and the nourishment of the Lord. Amen. No, get away from that kind of stuff. Begin to let your table, what's on the table, well up to Thanksgiving and be specific. I think you'll find it'll be a little helpful. And I'm preaching that to myself, too. Guys, it's not easy. It's sometimes you're just tired. Say, thank you, Lord, you're here with us. We're just grateful for food. Amen. You may have to say a prayer like that every now and then when you're just bone tired. But beware of the Charlie Anderson syndrome. God has provided everything we have. We give Him thanks. And the final question is, do you embrace God daily for forgiveness? For sure, when we do some big sin, like we say some very unkind things to our wife, or God forbid if we ever should hit her, then you start really asking for forgiveness. Application is to pray. Let's bow our heads and see how we're doing on this daily provision. How are we embracing God's forgiveness? Today, when you go out to eat with your friends or with your family after church service, how are you going to pray? I just want you to ask God to make you a person who daily, and specifically to be easy at the mealtime, to really give Him thanks for providing the delicious foods that are before you. And as you embrace Him for forgiveness too, just give Him thanks for that great love He has for you. As you bring your ugly sin to Him and he says, yes, I forgive you. And look at Jesus. He's got this beautiful, beautiful obedience that's for you. That is yours. Think with me in your own heart. Have you sinned against someone in your family by word or deed this past week? or even this morning, sometimes getting ready to church is a hard time, isn't it? And we can say things and push people the wrong way, and maybe even right now, you can think of a sin in your heart that you need to ask for forgiveness. Embrace Him. Embrace God. He says, come to me. Father, I thank you for forgiving us all, for being unconcerned about those who have no bread, the 870 million in the world who are hungry. I thank you for making this church a strong witness for you, Lord, that people would see us, and even in our mealtimes, our friends, when they sit down with us and we share, we like to say grace before our meals, they'd also sense a deep love and devotion to you because you provide. And I pray that in our families, that our young children will see this. It's not just something we do before our meals. It's a way to love God in embracing Him in prayer and thanking Him for His provision. But may our children also see that we daily need God's forgiveness. And they do too. So have mercy on us, Lord Jesus. Make us a people of prayer as you taught your disciples to pray. And it's in Christ's name we make our prayers now.